I get the feeling, having seen the development of the community ride, that that almost the experiment is over. The system is here, and now they're trying to decide whether it's here to stay or not. It's expanding its service. It's doing a lot of promotion work. It's trying to sort of reach that tipping point where it becomes institutionalized. Are you seeing that happening here too, as well? Is the ride following the route, so to speak, of other small community transit?
I think it is, definitely. I think it's beyond that tipping point. I think it's reached the point of sustainability. It's been out there long enough that it seems to have achieved a certain sense of acceptance in the community. We are seeing increased ridership as a result of the run-up in gas prices, as are transit programs around the country. So I think there's been a growing process that the system's gone through successfully, and I think it's achieved a certain sense of acceptance and recognition in the community.
All right. The ride is running 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. How do you help communities decide how much service to provide?
Well, there are some really complex mathematical models that I don't want to get into here, but they will give you some numbers. We can also do peer comparisons. We'll compare a community with a similar community and try to get an idea of how many people might be expected to ride. And sometimes when we go into communities, we do what's called a windshield survey. We just drive around and look at what might be expected to generate riders. Major places of employment, apartment buildings, senior housing. We look at the demographics of the community. We look at the number of persons with disabilities, disabled, youth, low-income individuals, and that those are all kinds of things that can predict how many people might ride.
Have you seen transit systems the size of Sitka's being successful in other communities?
Actually, that's what we specialize in working with rural communities. And Sitka is about in the middle range of the communities that we work with. We work with larger ones, and we've worked with smaller ones. And I think the ridership that we're seeing, the success of the project in Sitka is typical. It's been out there long enough. We like to say that when you start a new service, you need to leave it out there for at least 2 years for ridership to fully mature. Community Ride has added a route about 6 months ago, and I think they're seeing the ridership slowly mature on that route.
I want to touch again on sustainability, because sustainability for a system like the Community Ride now means some kind of community support beyond the fare box, right? Because it's a relatively small percentage of fees that a system like this can expect to collect.
That's right. I think a lot of folks might assume that you can support a transit program from what the nickels and dimes that people put in the fare box. And that was certainly true 50 or 60 years ago, when there were a lot of private, for-profit bus companies in the country. That is no longer true. Those nickels and dimes that people put in the fare box, it's actually more like dollars nowadays, only provides about 5 to 10% of the total operating costs of a transit program in a small community. In a large community, that percentage is higher. Interestingly, the highest percentage of operating costs that's covered by the fare box is the New York City transit system, that generates something like 80 or 90% of its operating costs from the fares. Of course, you're dealing with gazillions of people riding every day. But in a community like Sitka, the percentage of costs covered by the fare box is more like 5 to 10%. Now, where does the rest of that come from? The federal government covers half of that operating deficit. And the source of that funding, interestingly, is the gas tax. People might not realize that, but when they put gas in their tank, they're not only that federal gas tax is not only paying for the roads and bridges that they travel on, but A small piece of it, a very small piece of it, is actually used to support transit programs in Sitka and around the country. So that leaves another little piece, and it's called the local match. And that needs to come from any variety of different sources in the community. And I think Sitka has been very aggressive and creative in pursuing sources of local match to cover that.
And can a community transit system survive on creative funding and donations, or do you eventually have to go to taxpayers and say, hey, this is how it's going to be?
Well, there are some programs that survive entirely upon local cash dollars. They've certainly made a conscious decision to forego the local donations and the creative fundraising to do that, and that's certainly their prerogative. But I think the more creative programs have gone after dollars through creative fundraising, and Sitka is right at the top of the list. So it's I think it builds a sense of ownership in the community for the transit program. We've run into, I'm not sure it's done here, but we've run into programs that do bake sales and bingos, and people really have a good sense of owning that transit program because they're involved in funding it directly.